All right. Well, thank you for listening to this podcast. This is part 2 of 3 in our podcast series on answering the question, what does it mean to know God? So please enjoy. Yeah, I think for me, so the objective, you know, we want, a part of knowing God is knowing about God, right? I know lots of people say that, I don't want to just know about God, I want to know God. But part of knowing God is knowing about God. Mm-hmm. And we learn that through the Word of God.
Yeah.
So God has revealed himself to us through his Word.
Yes.
So, and I always say that, that's why it drives me crazy when people are like, man, I just want to like God to reveal himself to us. And I'm like, great, he has. And no, but I just want like, and what they say is like, I want some mystical experience, really, is often the times. So I think one of the key things is, objectively, if we want to know God, we need to know who he is and what his attributes are, and how he's done things throughout human history, and how, you know, just everything about him. And so I think we learn that through the Word of God. So I think the key thing, you want to know God, well, we have to be spending time in his Word. Because this is, I mean, God has revealed himself to us. And I think and the Bible says that everything we need to be fully equipped is found in there. So I don't think that God is kind of holding out on us being like, well, there's like other hidden things that aren't in my word that I'll tell you secretly. And and then that just creates this false sense of like, well, I'm a super Christian because I know the secret hidden thing. So I think the first thing is, if you want to know God, do you spend time in his word? And more than just, yeah, I read 10 verses today. But do you actually, you know, this book I brought because J.I. Packer wrote a book, Knowing God. And it's a great book. I would recommend you read it. But part of what he says is, you know, how do you get from a place of knowing about God and turning that into knowing God, right? How do you get to a place of, yeah, I learned about God, but now I actually have knowledge of God? And he said the same thing. He says it's simple, but it's demanding. So he says it's not rocket science, but it actually takes like effort. Mm-hmm. And so I love what he says. He says, as you spend time in the Word, so you're not just reading it to be like, okay, great, I read it. But he said, turn each truth that you learn about God into a matter for meditation before God, leading to prayer and praise to God. So what he's saying is, so let's say you read a passage of Scripture and you're understanding an attribute of God, let's say. Let's say you're reading and you're understanding God's holiness. Then he says, well, throughout your day, make that a matter of meditation, not like, but you're thinking about God's holiness and you're chewing on what you read that morning and you're just allowing your mind to go, man, I can't believe how holy God is and blah, 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 blah. And then he says, then you turn that into prayer and praise to God, where you're going, God, I'm worshiping you for how holy you are, that you are just awesome and good and everything about you is perfect. Da, 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 da. And he says, if you begin to do that, then it's taking that, yes, God is holy, and it's turning it into, man, I need to praise God for his holiness. But he says that takes work, right? That I think if we're honest, lots of us, we don't put the effort into that, right? Like I'll be the first to admit, oftentimes I'll read the Bible, but that was really convicting. Do I spend all day just kind of like thinking about
it? What am I going to do about that?
Yeah, right? So one key thing is as you learn about attributes and who this God is, are you actually meditating on that and then actually turning that into praise and worship of God? So I would just, so the kind of the first, whatever, takeaway, like if you actually want to know God, you have to be in his word. I mean, you have to be, because that's where God has revealed himself to us. This is, I mean, from cover to cover, you see who this God is. And so I think that's the first kind of key thing.
Yeah, that's super important, because if we don't get that right, then we want a quick fix or a revelation or something outside to bypass the hard work, or we get into deception because we're not spending time in God's words. We actually don't know.
Yeah, even like we're going through, you know, A.W. Tozer wrote The Knowledge of the Holy, and we're doing that as a staff. And that's what he said. Like, it's probably the most important thing is that you think rightly about God, not just like, oh, I just feel like God is this. Well, that's scary.
Yeah.
Right? So we actually want to think rightly about God, and how we do that is we spend time in the Word. Now, we'll get to, because I think another key part of knowing God is obeying Him, and you kind of touched on that. But before that, like, Don, is there, I know for me, I'm very, like, objective, and that's just my personality. But is there a kind of feelings-based, subjective part of just knowing God? And I mean, even personally, and because I know that, you know, we have brothers and sisters in different denominations who would say, well, you just got to learn how to, like, close your eyes and listen to God's voice, and He wants to talk to you, and prayer is a two-way street. And, like, I don't know, even personally, if you want to, like, is there an aspect of that in knowing God that you just, it's a...
a touchy feeling.
Because I know, like, that's the danger with lots of Christians when it's like, no, knowing God is just the Word. Well, then you can get into where there is, it's not a heart thing.
Well, and if there isn't that heart thing in it, I guess that learning that everybody has a different way of experiencing that. So I can never, you know, if you're a touchy-feely person.
Which I am.
Which, you know, how do you... You know, you could say, well, that isn't right, because that's not how I experience God. And I think it's even through the Bible, all the different ways, like David, I mean, look how, you know, how vulnerable he gets when he's worshiping God. Hmm. And then there's guys like Jonah, who, basically, God, I don't like the way you're doing things, but yet he had this close relationship with God. And you just think, how can that work? But for me, I am a little more touchy-feely.
Are you?
Where God does, there is something very personal when, you know, some of those experiences when God showed up in my bedroom there, it was like I could feel His presence there.
Yeah.
And I can't explain that.
Yep.
But yet I know it was real.
And yet I would say I know you fairly well. You're not one to, like, well, I got to have that experience again. Let me go chase after that. Or maybe I'm wrong.
No, I agree. I don't chase after those things. So I know when it happens, it was from God.
Yeah.
Because I haven't been opening myself up, if I want to say it that way.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, there was a time where some people thought, Don, we want to lay hands on you so you can speak in tongues, because then you'll really get to know God.
Hmm.
And so I said, well, I'm going to let you pray to do that. But I just whispered to God, if this is not from you, if this is not the path to get to know you deeper, then just don't let it happen. And it didn't happen. They prayed for a long time.
Yeah.
So, but what was really neat was when I was going home, I was actually praising God that He didn't answer that prayer.
Wow.
That He was taking care of me. And then a verse came to me that night, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, and it says, Jesus has become for us His righteousness, His holiness, His wisdom. And suddenly I had this, like, you read that verse before. I've read that, but all of a sudden it just opened up that Jesus is everything you need. And He's forgiven you. He's your wisdom. He's your holiness. He's the reason you can stand before God and praise Him and not be burnt to a crisp. And I had this incredible experience driving home after that, where God just showed up and I got to know Him in a deeper way, that He's not after all these experiences. He wants us to experience Him, not these things.
Yeah.
It's the person. Mm-hmm. And so I just had this I guess, revelation, a clearer picture of what that verse meant.
Yeah.
That Jesus has done everything. I don't have to pursue anything other than him and his word. So I don't know.
I should clarify, like, because I am more objective, but I do have feelings as well. I just want to clarify that. Although my sisters would probably be like, no, he doesn't. He's heartless. Because I have had those kind of moments too when you can tangibly feel the presence of God. And for me, it's usually been through the proclamation of his word. Mm-hmm. So when I hear God's word taught, usually it's like, wow. Like, you don't even know how to explain it. It's like, man, I know that God's presence is literally right here.
Yeah.
And then worship times for me can be very, not all the time, can be very powerful when you're just praising Jesus and singing through the gospel. There's been very key moments when it's like, wow, and you just weep. You just go, man, this is unreal. But I think for me, and being in a pastoral role, right, and shepherding people, my worry is that then that becomes kind of the litmus test for how much you know God. Well, are you having daily encounters like that? And if not, well, then there's something wrong. And it's almost like, no, not necessarily. Like, there might not be anything wrong if you're not daily, feathers and gold dust flying down.
Where we read these powerful experiences, but we forget that it was 10 years of just living by faith and walking in obedience, and then they had this experience.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like every day they...
Yeah, and then I think, too, part of knowing God is those times. And, I mean, there's other times, too, and, you know, I would say God primarily speaks through his word, but there are other times when... And I know you've had this too, when all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just puts someone on your mind to pray for them, and then later on you realize that, like, wow, that's exactly when they needed prayer or whatever. And so I think there is an element of that where you when you walk in obedience to those things, when a thought comes to your mind that, and I've actually had that with you when I'm leaving and you're preaching that week, and I'm like, okay, praying for you, and then I walk out to the parking lot and the Holy Spirit's like, you dummy, go back in and pray for him. And then I'm going, okay. And I think when you begin to just obey, that's part of knowing God, because you are walking in obedience. I think oftentimes when you ignore something that you've read in God's word, or you ignore, if I was just like, I'll pray for Don later and drive away, I think then that, not that it's your relationship with God is in crisis, but I think then it's you're choosing to not obey and listen to God, and so then maybe it becomes harder to, because then maybe the next time you just say, no, again, I'm just not going to obey. And And that's the Israelites, right? They went on this steady, this kind of slippery slope of, it just became easier and easier to ignore God and not know him. So let's talk about then, what place does obedience have? Again, because we often do this, well, Jesus freed us from the law, so we don't have to obey. And part of knowing God, I think we would both agree, is obedience to his commands. So I don't know, walk through, what does that look like? Like, how is that part of us actually knowing God?
Yeah, well, obedience always gets, especially today, gets the, the Old Testament or something like that. But the New Testament is full of even Jesus. In John, 1 John chapter 2 and 5, he says, if you love God, you will obey my commands. So one of the keys to actually knowing God is are you willing to obey him? Are you obeying him? And that obedience is out of knowing God has my best in mind, and that he's a good, loving father, and that if he says something, I want to do it. So that's where we're coming at with obedience, not, okay, fine, I don't want to be
Because that was the Pharisees, right?
Yeah.
That they was the Pharisees. Obeyed on paper. Right.
So you can obey all of God's commands or try to and be far away from God, which is, like you said, the Pharisees. So the Bible is full, and even Jesus on the Sermon of the Mount, he says, if you don't obey my word, you don't know me.
Hmm.
And that was even his judgment there in Matthew 7 when he says, you know, many are going to say, I did this, I did that, Lord, Lord. And he'll say, I don't know you.
Hmm.
And in the end of that Sermon on the Mount, he said, you know, those who obey his word are like someone building a house on a rock. They're obeying what he says. And those who hear it but didn't do it are going to be lost. They're going to suffer great loss. So even Jesus says obedience is a key marker of this knowing God.
Yeah.
And that's all through the Old and New Testament. Obedience is a sign of love. Jesus, you know, they asked Jesus in Matthew 22, what is the greatest commandment? I mean, they were trying to trap Jesus, but he answered absolutely brilliantly.
Yep.
He said, the first commandment is this, hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So he says all of God's commands, all his laws are filtered through this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. So that means God wants us to do all these things out of our love with all our heart, soul, and mind, with everything we got.
Mm-hmm.
Not out of duty or obligation, even though we are obligated to do it.
Yeah.
But it's with the attitude. And then he says the second commandment is like it. It's love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's a key thing. And the Bible's full of that. If you don't obey his word, we can legitimately say, I don't think you know God.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus would say that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's vitally important.
Yeah, I think the hard part is that someone who obeys God because they love him and someone who obeys God, they can look so similar. Yeah. That's the thing. And yet...
But then you pursue that, though, and one is, well, I have to,
yes,
or I'll go
and
to
one
hell,
is I get
and
to.
One is, I get to.
Yeah, on surface level, you go, man,
you're both
striving, mm-hmm. but... I think, I forget what book it was, but, one is grace-driven effort, which is someone who is striving because they love God, and the other is, I gotta do this or else I might go to hell. Or,
mm-hmm. To earn.
Yeah, to earn. And so I know, Tim Keller, in one of his books, he talks about the difference between religion and the gospel, and religion is, I obey, therefore I'm accepted by God. And that's the, if I can just do all of these things, then like God's obligated to accept me because look, I've kept all these things. I go to church, I tithe, I don't swear. I do all this. So that's religion. I obey, therefore I'm accepted. And the gospel is I'm accepted, therefore I obey. So it's the motivation, right, of your heart that someone who knows God realizes that they're accepted by God only because of his son, Jesus. Therefore, man, I want to obey. And so that's the difference. So our obedience to Jesus and his commandments is one of the ways that we know him. And I think that's one of the ways that we grow in our knowledge of him. Because I can tell you when I've gone through seasons of, so I'll give the example. I mean, and people have heard this lots. But, dealing with the pornography thing, when I was walking in disobedience, it really hinders your relationship with God. and yet, when I got to that place when it was like, and I'm not going to go into all the details about it, but, now being on the other side, walking in obedience to Jesus' expectations for sexual purity has actually increased my knowledge of God. So it's just true, when you walk in obedience, because you're living in a right relationship with God, you're not earning your salvation, you're doing it because of your salvation.
Yeah.
It does. You will increase in your love and knowledge of God when you obey him. And the opposite is true. When you walk in disobedience and rebellion, you won't, I don't think you, I don't know if I should say you can't, but I think it's much more difficult to grow in your knowledge of God and love of God when you're disobeying him. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's really important to remember is that, yeah, our obedience does not, it's not as if we're earning our way to heaven, right? Because Jesus has accomplished everything for us. The part in Hosea 7, so last week's sermon that I really wanted to touch on but just didn't have time, because we talked about that, I mean, Jesus, the Israelites don't know God. Hosea is saying, come, let us know God, but they just can't. And so Jesus had to come. And in Hosea chapter 7, verse 2, God says, but they do not consider that I remember all their evil. Now their deeds surround them. They are before my face. And really, it's meant to be this picture that when God looks, and in this moment in history, when God looks at Israel, he doesn't even see his chosen people. He just sees their sin. And yet, you flip over to 2 Corinthians 5:21, and we're told that this is speaking of Jesus. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Meaning that because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, when you follow him and surrender to him, you know, when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. So that just blew my mind that God is saying to his people, when I look at you, all I can see is your sin. And then Jesus comes, and we're told that now when, if you're in Christ, when God looks at you, he doesn't even see your sin. He sees his son, Jesus, his perfect life. So obedience is not us going, oh man, I really hope that God's impressed and that I'm doing enough. I mean, when God looks at you, if you're in Christ, he sees Christ. And yet, our obedience is just a joy that we get to do this.
And obedience just clears the way for communication and communion between us. When there's disobedience, it's like having a conflict with your spouse.
Totally.
You can't see eye to eye. You're not on the same page. But when there's this open relationship, all things are good, then there's no barriers. And that's exactly what happens with God. When we do walk in obedience, the lines are completely open. And that's when we do hear from God, his spirit speaks to us. So there's this open line. Even though there's forgiveness, the debt's been paid. There's a brokenness that needs to be dealt with. So
thank you for listening to part two of our podcast series on what it means to know God. Stay tuned for next week when we conclude with part three.